Psalm 148. And as all of these last five psalms begin, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all ye His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of His people, the praise of all His saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. Praise ye the Lord. Now, if anyone should ever wonder what the occupation of men in the earth is to be, this is it, is to praise the Lord. And that should occupy our mind and heart. That is to be the activity that we are to be about, is praising the Lord. Now, the corruption that dwells within us would have us, would take that from us. And it is only as the Spirit of God is pleased to work in His people to do that, that such will be the case. Because man by nature, and when we say by nature, we mean by his fallen nature. That is, that where he is because of sin. The Lord created man upright, but He has sought out many inventions. And the inventions that He sought out is anything that has to do with not praising the Lord. His intention is to go away from the Lord by nature. And so it is with us. And we have a sinful flesh that dwells with us and will till the day that we die. That is averse to praising the Lord. Now, it's not averse to religious praising of the Lord. You know, it's a common thing in our society to hear people say, praise the Lord. You hear it all over the place. But who's the Lord? What Lord are they praising? Now, that would be a question for another day, perhaps, as go into that. But because somebody says praise the Lord, doesn't mean they're praising the same Lord that you are thinking of. Because when the psalmist says, praise ye the Lord, he's talking about the absolute God. He's talking about the God who rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. There's none that can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? So if somebody says, praise the Lord, but they don't have Him in mind, then can it be the same Lord that we would praise? I think not. And so, praise ye the Lord doesn't mean the same thing to all people. But it does mean the same thing to all those who are true worshipers of God, the true God. There's only one. He's revealed to us in this book who He is, what He's like, who He loves. He said it over and over and over again. And so when David says, praise ye the Lord he's talking about is the one who is the absolute God. And that is the only Lord who's worthy of praise, even though men might say those words in another fashion. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. praise Him in the heights. I mean, is there a place that you could go that He's not to be praised? Every place that a man can find himself, he is to praise the Lord. Praise Him from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Then He says, praise ye Him, all His angels. And then notice He says, praise ye Him, all His hosts. Now, the Lord is surrounded by a multitude of creatures that He made of His own hand for His own purpose. And oftentimes men get thinking that we're His creatures, we're His creation. Well, we're a minor part of His creation. Now, a very important part, because it is man that the Lord has seen fit to magnify the glory of His grace through His redemption. And so, man does have an important place in God's creation, but he's not the sum total of it. Because the Lord is surrounded, He has many angels. Now, the angels are those who are sent by the Lord to perform a task. The word angel literally means a messenger. It was the angels that the Lord sent to tell the shepherds of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord sent angels throughout the Scripture for various reasons. An angel appeared unto Joseph. And in the book of the Revelation, an angel appeared unto John. And John was going to fall down and worship Him. He said, don't worship me. He said, I've just been sent here to tell you something. Worship the Lord. So the Lord does have many angels. Now, people, it's amazing how religiously oriented we are about such things as angels. But men, they want to make angels. They have this picture of what angels look like. You've all seen the pictures. They're these creatures dressed in white, and they got these big wings behind them. And you know, that's just the common thing. And so the average person, if they think of what an angel looks like, they have the picture of the in their mind of the ornament on top of the Christmas tree, you know, that he's sitting up there, and that's what an angel is. Well, that's not what an angel is. In fact, in many cases, an angel can be a human being. Now, the angels of the churches spoken of in the book of the Revelation, I don't believe those are heavenly creatures, but I believe it's talking about men sent to minister unto those, to teach them. And through these messages were given unto them. So an angel is a minister of God. An angel is one sent by God. Now, there are angelic creatures who are set apart from men, and they are not men. The Lord spoke of them. He said the angels don't take in marriage or give in marriage because they are those who are heavenly creatures. They're outside of the realm of the necessity of such as that. But even the angels, the Scripture says, they are to praise the Lord. That is their purpose, is to praise the Lord in this going forth and doing the things that He has sent them to do. But then He says here, praise ye Him, all His hosts. Now, who are the hosts of the Lord? The word hosts there literally means an army. It means a multitude. Now, you remember when Gehazi was trembling in fear because, I forget, the king had sent message out to Elisha and told him that he was going to come over there and get him and take him and kill him. And Gehazi said, oh, what are we going to do? And Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, open his eyes that he might be able to see. And his eyes were open, and around the hills, all surrounding them, was this great band of the host of God, the heavenly host. It was those that were sent by God. And so whether these are angelic creatures or there is some other form of creature, I don't know. But I do know this, that regardless of what kind of creature there is in the world, under the world, outside of the world, occupying the realms of space or whatever, they are commanded to worship the Lord. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise ye Him, all stars of light. Even the very inanimate objects that the Lord has made are made for the praise of the Lord. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Now that's an interesting phrase. Praise ye Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Now when we read, and as Brother Al went over this, over in the book of Genesis, it says that the Lord made a firmament in the midst of the waters. And He separated the waters which were above the firmament from the waters which were below the firmament. And what did He call the firmament? Heaven. Now, I want you to just think about that for a minute, what He said there. Now, I don't, you know, sometimes things get lost in the language. Now, some people have said, some scholars have looked at this, and they believe that what He's just describing, that He made the heavens in layers, and that there were waters above it, and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. You know, I don't know, but I know this. This right here would indicate to me that there is waters above the heavens. Now, I don't know what heavens He's talking about. If He's talking about the heaven that we see, and then the clouds that are up in the stratosphere, and what other spheres there are up there, I'm not sure about that. But in keeping with what He says, if it literally means what it says in the book of Genesis, that the heaven was created in the midst of waters, and the earth was made in that firmament. And if that be the case, if that literally is what that means, if nothing's lost in the translation of the words, that there are waters around the whole thing that we can see, that we can't see. Now, you know, that's just another thing. But regardless of that, regardless of how that is, I'm not certain about it, and I certainly wouldn't make it a doctrinal matter. But I certainly understand that there are things about the creation that we have no way of knowing what they are. And wouldn't it be an amazing thing if where we are right now is completely surrounded by water? And as far as the eye can see and the telescopes can look, they can't see to where that water is, but perhaps it's there. I don't know about that. But I know this. The waters that be above the heavens, if that's talking about the clouds and the rain clouds and the moisture that's up in there, if that's what it is, it doesn't make a difference. It is that which is to praise the Lord. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created. So here is clear evidence that it does not matter where a man's at or whatever. If he's been created, then he's to praise the Lord. Now that's actually the reason why man has come up with the theories of evolution and other explanations for the creation of man. Because you see, man hates, in his fallen natural state, he hates the praise of God. And if he can figure out some way to explain this other than God created it, He commanded it and it was done, then he's not bound in any way to praise. And such is the way of the flesh. For He commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. He's established the things that He has created, and they cannot pass. Now that doesn't mean that they cannot pass in His decree, but it means they cannot pass without His decree. So that You can't die. Nobody can kill you. Nothing can happen to you until such time as it fulfills the purpose of Almighty God. Nothing can get around that. The Lord has set your bounds that you cannot pass. It doesn't mean that you can just not go any further than that. It means that that is the bound that you have, and the Lord has directed it. And so it is that all things which He has made a decree shall come to pass. Now, some people seem to doubt that some of the things the Lord has decreed would come to pass. The Scripture says that the Lord shall see of the travail of His soul and shall be satisfied. Now, that is a decree that He has made. He will be satisfied with such travail as He has expended. Now, there are those that tell us that the Lord Jesus Christ shed His blood for some, and He will be disappointed when He looks and sees that there are some that didn't avail themselves of it. That's a lie. That's not of the Spirit of God. Because the Lord shall see of that which He has done, and He shall be satisfied. And if it is His decree that He shall be satisfied, then we can be sure that He has set the bounds of those for whom He has redeemed. And they cannot pass. They cannot be diminished, nor can anyone add to it. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Dragons and all deeps. Dragons. You ever seen a dragon? I've never seen one. But there are creatures on the earth that are called dragons. Now, I don't know what exactly the psalmist has reference to. If he's talking about the Komodo dragon, as Al spoke about there, or if he's just talking about creatures that some creature they call dragons. You know, there are strange creatures in the earth that are being discovered every day. And there are creatures that are no longer in existence. So I don't know exactly what he meant. But I do know this, that whatever it was, he said, let them praise the Lord, ye dragons, and all deeps, the deep places. I was just reading the other day about somebody had gone down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench, which I suppose they claim that's the deepest place on earth. I don't know how they know that, but they say that it is anyway. And they went down to the bottom of this, and they found a fish down there that they never had seen before. Now, isn't that amazing? I mean, man thinks that he knows everything. I mean, he's seen everything. He's got it all figured out. And yet here he found a fish that had never been seen before. Nobody could believe that this fish existed. Now, if one exists that they don't know about, how many others exist that they don't know about? But regardless of how many, see, every one of those fish are created unto the praise of God. And that should be, you know, when a scientist comes down to the bottom of the Marianas Trench and he sees that, the first words out of his mouth should be, praise the Lord. But I bet it probably wasn't. And he probably said, oh, well, now isn't that a peculiar sight? Wonder what that is. But you see, when we see the creation of God, it should move us. And I believe it does move the children of God, in whom the Spirit of God is, to praise the Lord for the wonders of that which He has done. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars. So, there are mountains and hills. Mountain's a big hill and a hill's a small mountain. Mountains and hills, fruitful trees, those that bear fruit that we might eat. And all cedars, those that are planted for the purpose of growing to make lumber, to build houses or whatever. They're used for. They're, you know, all plants don't have the same purpose. Some plants are for food. Some plants are for clothing. Some plants are for shelter. But it doesn't make any difference what they're for. The Lord is to be praised. Beasts and all cattle, creeping things, and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Now, when I was growing up, I used to think that praising the Lord and really being interested in spiritual things, that was something for the old people. I mean, I figured I had plenty of time if I was going to get involved in all that, but that was really for the old people, going to church and all that. That would be more suited for the old people because they didn't have anything else to do anyway. I mean, you know, they were just old. I mean, that was what you were supposed to do. And I also used to think that it just, when you got old, you'd start thinking more about the Lord just because you was old. You know, but that's not true, is it? Because if the Lord doesn't change a man's heart, he'll be harder the older that he gets. He gets more hardened in his way. And he has less concern for the things of God the older that he gets than he does. That's why the Scripture says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come upon you." Because men think that whenever they get into the state of being old, they'll be relying more on the Lord. But no, the older that you get, the more likely you are to rely on the doctors and the pills and whatever will stretch your life out for another few years. I read this thing the other day. They said that now they've discovered ibuprofen. They've done these laboratory tests and on mice, and they increased the lifespan of mice by about 10 or 12% by giving them regular doses of ibuprofen. Well, you know, I imagine people will go out now and start buying ibuprofen. Why? Because they want to, you know, they want to hold on to just a little bit more. But that's the natural way, is it not? I mean, the natural body is looking for one more breath. We don't know how many more breaths we've got. But we sure want the next one, don't we? I mean, it's like a fellow, I remember hearing one time he said, he told a fellow how old he was. He said, "How old are you?" He says, I'm 94. And the guy looked at him and said, "Man, I wouldn't want to be 94. He said, "That's because you ain't 93. Because you see, that's the way that it is. The natural man, he's grasping for this life. And it, apart from the work of the Spirit of God to constrain a man to spiritual things, he won't be constrained to spiritual things because he gets older. He'll be less likely to be constrained because he'll be looking for other things that might just give him one more breath or might give him one more day or whatever that it is. So, but it's young men, old men, maidens, children, whoever it is. You see, it's never too, a man, a child is never too young to seek the Lord. And the Lord is pleased by the work of the Spirit of grace to cause children to seek Him. Some children are awakened at an early age to seek the Lord. Some are old men when the Lord sees fit to bring them out of darkness into light. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is excellent. His name alone is excellent. Now, when something's excellent, what does that mean? It means it can't get any better. That's right. If something's excellent. Now, I've eaten a few things that I thought were excellent. And then later on I ate something I thought it was even better than that. So what is excellent? I don't know exactly what if we can achieve or come to something and find out. But I know what excellence is. But I know this, that excellence resides in the Lord. And that's what he said. His name alone is excellent. He's high and lifted up. He's worthy to be praised. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. Now, it's a wondrous thing to look at creation and see all of the unfoldings that are around us and see the things that God has done. The mountains and the hills and the valleys and the forests and the oceans and the creatures that are in those things. That's a wondrous thing. But the Lord's glory is not in those things. The Scripture says His glory is above those things. I mean, these things are surely the Lord is to be praised. He just got through saying, let everything praise the Lord. But he said, my glory is not in that. He said, my glory is above the heavens and above the earth. Moses asked to see it. Remember what the Lord said? Moses said, Lord, that I could see thy glory. He said, Moses, he says, thou canst not see my glory. No man can see me and live. But he said, here's what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before thee. And I'm going to hide you in a cleft of the rock. And when I have gotten completely by you, he said, then I'm going to let you see my backside, because no man can see the Lord and live. Now, what do we learn from that? Well, we learn, number one, that when the glory of the Lord, as far as a man is concerned, according to what the testimony of the Lord is His goodness. The goodness of God. Now, we talked about that a week or so ago. Most men, when they talk about the goodness of God, they talk about that and they think about that when everything's going great. I mean, they just got that promotion. You know, they're making more, they got a big raise, or they made a bunch of money off of this deal or that, or things happened. You know, somebody that they love was sick and they got better and they said, oh, God is good. Now, I'm not saying any of that is wrong with considering the goodness of God in that. But, dear brethren, God is good regardless of the circumstance that we're in. Because, you see, the working of the Spirit of God that would teach us that it's not in the things that we like that we are to praise God for His goodness, but it's in all things, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Lord, whatever seems good in your sight. You see, that's the place that the Lord would bring His people, is to praise Him in spite of what might be happening. Whether I like it or whether I don't, because I guarantee you there's something will happen to you probably today that you won't like. I just about guarantee it. Something will happen. And you can spend a lot of time sitting around worrying about it. Or by the grace of God, you can praise Him and be thankful. And it'll be by the grace of God, because in the flesh we won't. I mean, we won't. You can't like something you don't like. And you might not like that, but I'll tell you this, it is by the grace of God that a man is brought to praise the Lord, because His glory is above the earth and the heaven. It's not an earthly thing. You can't teach a man to praise God. Oh, you can teach a man to say it. A lot of people learned it. I mean, they say, oh, praise the Lord. You know, oh, praise the Lord. I hear it all the time. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, thank God that if He's taught you to praise the Lord, I mean, that's good. But you know, if you just learn to say that because it's just a neat thing to say, that's not worth anything. It's a waste of time. It's the ramblings of the heathen. What's the word that the Lord used? The vain repetitions of the heathen. That's all that it is. It's nothing. But to praise the true and living God, that is something. He also exalteth the horn of His people. Now this is the heart of what this psalm is about. He exalteth the horn of His people. Now who is the horn of the people of God? That's absolutely right. Whenever you look through the Scriptures and you see the horn mentioned, it's talking about a seat of power. It's talking about one who has authority. A horn is a symbol of authority. And so it is that the Lord, Jesus Christ, is exalted. He said, He also exalteth the horn of His people. I believe it speaks from this respect that the Father exalteth the horn of His people. And who is the horn of His people? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Scripture says that the government shall be upon His shoulders. And of His kingdom there shall be no end. He is exalted. Because you see, all of the promises that have been made that the people of God benefit from have not been made to them. See, we didn't get any promises from God directly. The promises that we have come to us through Christ. The Father said, Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And Jesus Christ is the horn of His people. He said, I will redeem my people. I will bring them forth. And the Father said, It seems good in my sight. And He has brought His people unto Himself. The praise of all His saints. Is that not true? I mean, isn't Jesus Christ the praise of all His saints? I mean, can a man be a child of God? Can a man be walking with Christ and not praise Him? I mean, can his lips be sealed and he be indifferent? Can he just be going along and just have time every now and then to think about the Lord? I mean, is that the way that the Spirit of God works in His people? I don't believe that you can find that in the Scripture. The Lord causes His people to desire to praise Him, to magnify His name. He is the praise of all His saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto Him. You see, the Lord has a people that He loves with an everlasting love, and He has sent His Spirit to indwell them, to call them out of darkness and bring them into light, that they might praise His name forever. And that is the message of the children of God to the earth, is the exaltation of Christ. He is to be praised. He is to be worshipped. Praise ye the Lord. He ends as He began. Because that's coming back full circle. I mean, He created the world, and then He revealed to us why He created the world. That He might magnify the one who is the horn of His people. You see, it's all about Christ. Everything that the Lord has done has been for the glory of Christ. That He might that His name might be magnified. That He might be praised. That He might have glory. And He shall have that glory in the revelation and unfolding of the redemption of His people in the earth. What a glorious God we have. He is to be praised. Now, the world can't know anything about that. I mean, you know, all they can do is praise Him for carnal things. And there's nothing wrong with praising Him for carnal things, but it's not the work of the Spirit of God to cause men to praise Him carnally, but spiritually. The Lord said to the woman at the well, The Father seeketh such as worship Him in spirit and truth. And He is seeking out His own, because they are the ones who will worship Him in that fashion.